This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, March 26, 2021, and I'm going to be bringing you guys an important report based on an article that I released earlier today for The Last American Vagabond. First, just go ahead and let me know if the audio is coming through okay, video, if everything sounds smooth, and we will continue on. Like I said, today I'm going to be talking about an article I just put out called Smart Cities as, well, let me make sure I got the title right. It's called Smart Cities, Digital Prisons of the Great Reset. So obviously we're going to be continuing our conversation about the Great Reset and smart city technology and all of these kind of connected topics. Okay, great. So I want to remind you guys before we start, though, to visit my website, theconsciousresistance.com. Theconsciousresistance.com is the home for all of my content, guys. You can find all the alternative social media platforms I use. Float, where we're live right now. DLive, this little yellow one at the bottom left, that's also where we're live right now. Minds, Hive, you can join my text list. You can follow us on BitChute, on Odyssey. You can follow us for podcasts on Pinecast or Spotify. And then if you want to support, you can do so on Patreon, even though they're kicking people off. I might not be on there that much longer. You can still support me there for the moment. And then, of course, you can follow my Telegram channel, Derek Bros' Daily News, and The Conscious Resistance. That is honestly, I think, the best place to be following my work. I'm streaming right now on Facebook to some of you. And again, some of you are live on Float. Some of you guys are live on DLive. But if you only follow me on Facebook, you might have noticed in the last couple of weeks, I keep disappearing. I'll be there for a couple of days, then they take me off for a week. And the last 2 days I was banned. It just keeps happening. And it's inevitable that they're going to take my page down. So if you really do want to stay up to date and keep seeing my content, well, then I highly encourage you to follow me there. I'm seeing right now, for some reason, it's not live on DLive. If you're trying to watch on DLive, go to theconsciousresistance.com/live and you can watch it there. I don't know why it hasn't started over there, but we are already live. So let's continue on. Like I said, the article that I'm going to be covering today is coming from The Last American Vagabond. And it is a two-part, it's the second part of a two-part series that I started recently. And it's about smart cities. If you follow my work, again, I've talked about smart city technology for a couple of years now. Maybe some of you saw my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse. A big part of the concern about 5G is the push towards these so-called smart cities, surveillance cities. And so I've been talking about this and warning people for a while. But recently I decided I wanted to go further down the rabbit hole and kind of explore it a little bit more in depth. So I've written two articles now. This most recent one we're going to look at today. Again, these are all published at thelastamericanvagabond.com. This is where all of my journalism is published. So you can see the first one was called Understanding the Dangers of Innovation Zones and Smart Cities. And it goes into what's the big deal with these private cities? What's the big deal with blockchain cities and innovation zones and special economic zones and the problems associated with that? Because there looks like there could be some good things in there, but there's also some really scary, worrisome things, the loss of privacy, the loss of movement, and also just how much these sort of solutions play into the whole Great Reset agenda by the World Economic Forum. So I talked about that in part one. Today, though, the second part, Digital Prisons of the Great Reset, is diving even deeper to show you specifically, okay, in which way, Derek, is the smart city vision, the push towards autonomous vehicles, driverless cars, robot assistance, sensors in the street, smart street lights, everything, you know, all to fight climate change, to make cities more equitable, to make them more sustainable, to make them more inclusive. There's a lot of those buzzwords that are floating around, and you can directly trace it to the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030, and that's what we do in this article. And some of you are familiar with this info, but if you haven't gone down this rabbit hole, I do recommend starting with this article because I link to a whole bunch of different things. So I'm just going to read to you just a little bit from here, and I do want to encourage you to check out the article for yourself. A smart city is promoted as an urban environment. This is the official definition according to the World Economic Forum, which, quote, uses data and emerging technologies to improve the quality of life for citizens, share information with the public, drive economic growth, and build a more inclusive society. The city would involve the use of technologies such as the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, and drones to improve citizens' lives and solve the challenges of today while preparing them to address those of tomorrow. So the World Economic Forum, the WEF, who are the architects of the Great Reset, this agenda they've been pushing since June 2020, and they continue to push into 2021. They and a host of other international public-private partnerships, which are essentially corporate and state power coming together, they try to make it sound like, oh, public-private partnership, governments and corporations working together and doing great things. But in reality, it's a little more nefarious than that. So the WEF and other international public-private partnerships, they have been promoting the smart city concept as a solution to fighting climate change for years. And of course, since COVID-19, this has only helped further cement this idea that the cities and the infrastructure are unsustainable, and thus we must upgrade to smart cities. And look, again, I'll say this, I've said this before, I'll just remind you guys. The reality is there is some truth here. We are living in an unsustainable world. We are living with a lot of inefficiencies and inequalities and just problems that are going on. But the flip side of what the World Economic Forum and these would-be technocrats don't tell you is that they are the ones that helped engineer some of these crises. And then they want to later come about and say, look, COVID has proved that the world is, you know, all unsustainable. It's not working. So let's work together as a global community and get the governments and get the public-private partnerships and the philanthropists like Bill Gates, and we'll all just create a better world and the people will come along with us. And it really sounds like this utopian, like, oh my God, they're stepping up, the billionaires and the corporations, the governments are going to save us. It's bullshit, guys. In June 2019, the World Economic Forum announced that they were collaborating with the leadership of the G20, which the G20 is just the 20 richest nations in the world. They meet every year, I believe, to lead a, quote, new global effort to establish universal norms and guidelines for implementation of smart city technology. And this move brought the World Economic Forum into the fold of these various international and global organizations who are focused on bringing this smart city vision to life. Working with the G20, they partnered with the organization known as the Global Smart Cities Alliance for the purpose of, quote, establishing global standards for data collection and use, fostering greater transparency and public trust, and promoting best practices in smart city governance. So, on the surface, they're trying to say, if we're going to go towards smart cities, we got to make sure that we're protecting people's privacy. We got to make sure that we're protecting people's data and, you know, trust and all these kinds of things. But in reality, again, they have different agendas. They have a different agenda going on here than the one that they publicly promote. They like to use lots of sort of flowery, innocuous buzzwords that make the average uninformed person say, like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, the United Nations is trying to take care of us, the government, smart cities, maybe that's the answer, you know. And some people I do recognize in a world that I'm trying to work towards, a world completely liberated where you have the choice to live as you please so long as you are not harming someone else or, you know, enforcing harm on their lives, you know, I believe in that world. And some people will choose to want to voluntarily live in smart cities. And I can't do anything about it. I wouldn't try to do anything about it. But I think we need to also help people see the problems with these situations, the problems with the smart city push. That, yeah, it could be really cool where you have some smart house and a smart fridge that as soon as your fridge is low, it alerts the Amazon. Of course, it would be Amazon. Alerts Amazon, and they look at your grocery list, and then the drone automatically delivers the groceries that you're running out of. I mean, cool, like the Jetsons world that some people have been wanting their whole lives, the sci-fi movies that they have been trying to show us. But again, you have to consider the implications of that world. That world is a world without privacy. And in some ways, the way they promote it, it might be a world without property. And coincidentally, that's what the World Economic Forum wants. They said in 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And they also say that you don't need to drive anymore. You don't need to drive because we'll just share vehicles or we'll have autonomous Uber, you know, ride sharing, and people won't need to actually own things independently. So that's the other side of this push for smart cities. On one hand, it seems like really awesome technology outside of, we're not even getting into today, the health concerns of being surrounded by so much EMF exposure. And obviously 5G is needed in order to bring about the smart city vision. That's one of the things I touch on here. And They do pay lip service, I will say. The World Economic Forum says, quote, without proper governance, these smart city technologies pose significant challenges that can outweigh their benefits. But despite the growing number of smart cities around the world, no global framework exists for regulating how data should be collected in public spaces, such as by traffic cameras and Wi-Fi hotspots and subsequently used. So again, they are positioning themselves. They're saying, look, nobody's regulating this. Nobody's put forward a global framework of how we're supposed to do this. So it's up to the Global Smart Cities Alliance and the World Economic Forum and the United Nations to go ahead and do this. And in November 2020, the World Economic Forum selected 36 cities to pioneer a global policy roadmap. So these are the cities that I think we should pay attention to. These are the cities where, as I've shown part one, there's already some existing smart cities that are being developed. But these particular cities, what they call pioneer cities, are being seen as the testing grounds for the World Economic Forum and G20 Smart City Roadmap. And these include Barcelona, Spain, Buenos Aires, Dubai, London, Mexico City, and San Jose in the US. So there's others as well. If you want to go check out the links to this article, of course, everything is listed in the show notes. Wherever you're watching or listening from, go straight to theconsciousresistance.com and it'll show you everything you're looking for. Yeah, and then just recently, the World Economic Forum launched a platform called Shaping the Future of the Internet of Things and Urban Transformation. I'll show you guys that in just a moment. And this basically is just another sort of infrastructure for them to partner with 100 global partners to implement the platform's key initiatives. And these are the three key initiatives that this Shaping the Future of the Internet of Things and Urban Transformation platform is calling for. For one, the future of the connected world using the Internet of Things, the future of real estate, discussing how to transition the real estate industry, and the future of cities, which they says will discuss, quote, the responsible and ethical use of smart city technologies with partners representing more than 200,000 cities and local governments around the world. So I say all that gobbledygook to say this. There's clearly a big effort from the top to the bottom. Well, we're going to show you the bottom in just a moment. Right now, we're talking about the high level World Economic Forum, G20, et cetera, how they're pushing this smart city technology. But there is a common theme here, my friends. There is a common theme. And as I write here, the common theme is this. Through their partnerships, initiatives, and publications, the World Economic Forum is playing an outsized role in promoting the technological vision for urban areas. However, upon closer examination, it becomes clear that the World Economic Forum is simply parroting the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And you guys, I know many of you are familiar with this. For those of you who are not, this is just going to be a quick lesson in it. The UN Sustainable Development Goals are a collection of 17 interlinked goals designed to bring to be a, quote, blueprint to achieve a better and more sustainable future for all. The Sustainable Development Goals were set in 2015 by the UN General Assembly with the intention of achieving them in the year 2030. And here we are in 2021, and a lot of these things are moving forward. The Sustainable Development Goals were part of a larger resolution that was known as the 2030 Agenda, or often known as Agenda 2030. And the language of the World Economic Forum and the Global City Smart Alliance clearly mirrors the language of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. In fact, the 11th Sustainable Development Goal from the United Nations is, quote, make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. And this word inclusive and resilient and sustainable, obviously, continues to crop up and pop up over and over and over. And I'm going to show you all these different ways that it's that language is being filtered from the United Nations to the World Economic Forum. And then I'm going to show you some examples of how they're doing it on the local level, particularly in the city where I'm originally from, Houston. The United Nations also launched the United for Smart Sustainable Cities initiative to help achieve Sustainable Development Goal number 11. According to the United for Smart Cities platform, they serve as a global platform to advocate for public policy and encourage the use of information and communication technologies, or ICTs, to facilitate and ease the transition towards smart, sustainable cities. And this is an interesting factoid. Not saying it's related. I don't know. I'm just saying I found it, and you make of it what you will. So this organization within the United Nations, the United for Smart Sustainable Cities platform, U4SSC, they had their fifth meeting in October 9th, 2020, which was about 1 week before the World Economic Forum was involved in the Event 201 pandemic simulation exercise. I'm just saying. So that's interesting, is this United Nations organization. I don't know. Maybe they meet every October for their annual meeting. It's just a coincidence. It could be so. I just say it's coincidental. It's interesting that this United Nations organization is having their push for smart cities, their fifth meeting a week before the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johnson & Johnson, John Hopkins University and other organizations met for the Event 201 pandemic simulation exercise. And then, of course, the United Nations is not alone in leading the charge for smart cities. There are also non-governmental organizations, NGOs, that are involved in the process. These include the 100 Resilient Cities Network, which was developed by the Rockefeller Foundation to help cities around the world become more resilient to physical, social, and economic shocks, and C40's City Climate Leadership Group, which was funded by Bloomberg Philanthropies with former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, as president of the board. So you have, no, there's more than this, but these two organizations for sure play an outsized role. C40, funded by billionaire Michael Bloomberg, and 100 Resilient Cities Network, or 100RC, funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. So the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the G20, the United Nations, first they passed the Agenda 2030 resolutions and the Sustainable Development Goals, and then different organizations start to kind of filter them out and communicate about them and share about them on the international level through non-governmental organizations, through nonprofits, and then, of course, governments. Some of them are taking a role in pushing this as well. And then it goes all the way down to the local level. And that's this last part of this article that I'm going to share with you guys. Again, please read the actual article. I'm just giving you the summary of this. If you haven't read part one, I recommend it. And I will also say, if you haven't watched my documentary, The 5G Trojan Horse, I recommend you watch at least the section about this whole issue of smart cities. How smart city propaganda spreads on the local level. The push for smart city technology and programs is not exclusively the activity of international governments and NGOs. It spreads through local governing bodies. And in this way, local officials pass resolutions and form committees which are aimed at implementing Agenda 2030 Great Reset goals under the guise of beautifying their respective cities and towns. And one prime example of this is Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner. Turner is a great example of an individual using their position of power to emulate the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And if you know my history, you know my journalism, you know that I've been confronting Sylvester Turner for a couple of years. Again, this is in the 5G Trojan Horse documentary. I've confronted him about a number of issues, including 5G, including surveillance and privacy concerns about smart cities, because he has been bragging for a couple of years that Houston's going to be the leading smart city of the world, including in May 2018 when Turner established a Smart City Advisory Council, which he said would help transition Houston to be the city of the future while reducing climate change. And this is a quote from when he established it. The age of technology is here and we cannot afford to sit idle. We must leap, not stroll into the future. The advisory council will set the stage for Houston to become the smart city of the world. So just some examples of how Turner has done this by working with big tech companies. He partnered Houston with Microsoft, of course, of Bill Gates fame and of viruses in your computer fame, as part of the Microsoft Innovation Alliance Initiative. They've had several different partnerships over the last couple of years. The point is the mayor, Sylvester Turner, has done a great job of bringing in those big tech companies. And again, people see this like, oh, they're bringing in money. They're going to install Wi-Fi in all the buses and around the city. It's going to be great. People aren't thinking about the negative implications of this. Turner also partnered. Turner also, somebody asked if I meant to say Event 201 was 2019. I did. October 2019, not 2020. Turner has also partnered with Verizon Inc. to make Houston become the first 5G city in the world. And this happened way back in October 2018. I've been telling people this for a while, especially people who have theories about Wuhan and 5G over there, that Houston has had 5G since October 2018 because the mayor made a big deal about it. They had the head of Verizon come out to Houston, and I was able to interview him and confront him as well. And the mayor has actually had such a close relationship with Verizon in the wireless industry that the CTIA, the Cellular Telephone and Internet Association, which is basically big wireless, they gave him the 5G Wireless Champion Award in 2018 for specifically, this is their quote, removing barriers to the deployment of next generation wireless infrastructure. And they said, quote, under his leadership, Houston has streamlined the permitting process by not requiring a license or attachment agreement for new poles or small cells. So look, I'm not really in favor of government regulation, but this is a corporation basically thanking the government official for saying, hey, you didn't make it hard at all for us. You moved all the barriers out of the way and made it super easy for us to roll over your city and bring in 5G. And again, the connection of 5G networks is important because the technology is the backbone of the smart city vision. In order for autonomous vehicles, drones, robot assistants, smart lights, and sensors in the streets to operate, they have to have little to no latency between these devices on the Internet of Things. This means that smart cities must be outfitted with 5G, 6G, and beyond. And in fact, the World Economic Forum's Strategic Intelligent Platform has a page dedicated to the ways that 5G will shape the world in the coming years. And Mayor Turner has also kind of tried to accelerate the smart city push during COVID-19 by saying, hey, look how great we're doing, you know, because of our smart city, you know, aspects, we're able to handle COVID better using real-time data for digital contact tracing and stuff like that. But again, that's just one mayor, right? So this is just the mayor, Sylvester Turner. He's promoting smart city technology. He's promoting 5G, promoting smart city, you know, these big tech companies. But it goes beyond that, guys. It's important to understand and to study local officials and who they're connected to, what organizations they're involved. Houston's mayor, Sylvester Turner, was also announced as the climate mayor's chairman in January. So he's now the chairman of this nationwide coalition, which is basically dedicated to pushing Agenda 2030 propaganda. And in this role, they said Turner will, quote, help catalyze climate forward actions taken at the local level, provide an example of climate action for all leaders at all levels of government. Turner is also the vice chair of the National Climate Action Agenda. He's also a member of the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy. And as of October 2020, he was made the chairman of something called the Resilient Cities Network. And I mentioned this. Remember the 100RC, the 100 Resilient Cities Network, which was founded by the Rockefeller Foundation? So it's founded by the Rockefeller Foundation, which we know is working with the World Economic Forum to promote the common past. We know that they are working with the overall agenda. And this mayor of Houston, who's promoting the smart cities, is then made a chairman of the Resilient Cities Network. And under the Resilient Cities Network, you look up core funders, and it shows the Rockefeller Organization, of course, the same organization who founded the 100RC network. In fact, as part of this network, the Rockefeller Foundation, I found out, they help partner with cities by establishing chief resilience officers to implement the goals of their organization. And the Rockefeller Foundation is, of course, intertwined with the Gates Foundation as part of the COVID-19 operation. And as I said, they're working with the World Economic Forum to promote the Common Pass vaccine passport. And just as recent as February 2020, Sylvester Turner and his team released their report called Resilient Houston. And this Resilient Houston includes 62 actions that are aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The report identifies six themes to, quote, advance implementation of these goals, including smart cities. And, so the point here is that this smart city agenda that some people may be embracing is coming directly from the World Economic Forum, from the Rockefeller Foundation, from the United Nations, from the Gates Foundation, these same people who are telling you that you're going to own nothing and be happy in 9 years. This is a part of their Agenda 2030, the push towards smart cities. And as I point out in part one of this, there's also concerns about what they call innovation zones and special economic zones. Go read part one of this if you haven't read either one of these, of course. And in the end, I'll say this and we'll wrap up here. In truth, the push for smart cities, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and the Great Reset is based in a deeper agenda to monitor, control, and direct all life on the planet using technology. The true agenda of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations is to establish a global technocratic state with alleged experts and technologists making decisions for the vast majority of the people on the planet in the name of saving the environment. And this is the important part. Tune in now if you've been tuning me out. The only thing that stands in the way of implementation of Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset is the current mass awakening of free humans around the world. Millions of people around the world have begun to question the true purpose behind the COVID-19 lockdowns and mandates. Millions of people are now seeking to educate themselves and build a better world outside the hands of the predator class. The people are rejecting the new normal and embracing the greater reset. Again, this article can be found at The Last American Vagabond. It can be found at theconsciousresistance.com if you look up the post for today's show. And what do I mean by the Greater Reset? Guys, some of you may know that I was involved in the organization of the Greater Reset Activation that happened at the end of January. It was very successful, reached hundreds of thousands of people, all focused on solutions. We're doing this again. I'm personally not just going to sit by and watch this world slip away into Agenda 2030 and Great Reset, technocratic control, propaganda bullshit. I'm going to continue to write about it. I'm going to continue to make documentary films to expose it. I'm going to continue to do reports about this. And I'm also going to help organize things like the Greater Reset Activation. The activation continues on May 24th through the 29th, May 24th through the Yeah, that last week of May, I'll say, I can't remember the dates exactly, but we are 60 days away. We're like exactly 60 days away now from this event. 5 days of live streams focused on speakers with solutions and revolutionary ideas. We also have another event coming up called D3, Decentralized, Distributed, and Disruptive Tech Summit, which you can find out more about here. Because it's now, guys. Either we're going to promote solutions and we're going to try to put it on the table and like, let's actually do something about this, or we're just going to sit by and watch things on Facebook and complain about the world. It might seem like that's all I'm doing to some of you who only watch me on Facebook, et cetera. But guys, I'm out here in the real world trying to spread information. We went out earlier this week. We put out some flyers, myself and a small group of people passing out flyers about the insanity of masks on kids and trying to get parents to be thinking a little bit differently and thinking about solutions. I'm working on the Greater Reset. I'm working on the Pyramid of Power documentary. I'm doing reports like this. I'm writing articles. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm also looking for land. I'm also trying to learn more about growing my own food. I've taken a permaculture design course now, and I'm certified to teach permaculture. I want to learn more about it before I ever try to. But the point is, I'm taking my steps in my life. I feel secure knowing that I'm moving the ball forward. I'm making an effort forward. But if you are just sitting there watching this show, watching other podcasts and video channels, like it's just entertainment, then my friends, you're going to get caught with your pants down, and that's not going to be fun, because it's going to be the Great Reset coming to screw you over. And you know, you need to be proactive, you need to be forward thinking, you need to start thinking, how are you and your family going to take care of yourself? I feel like I have been shouting this from the rooftops and the mountaintops for the last year, and everybody's finally seeing immunity passports are a thing. I've been warning this was coming. You could see the signs if you've been paying attention, because there's a larger agenda. They want to push us to the smart cities, to the social credit scores, to the vaccination passports, to this smart grid world that they want to lock us in. And we have to think, are we willing to give up privacy, individual liberty, maybe even freedom of movement for some sci-fi tech world that could maybe be fun in some ways? I mean, the best version of that world looks like the solar punk vision of, you know, using permaculture and technology coming together, maybe like the Venus Project in a voluntary way. That's like the best version, right? The worst version is all the sci-fi movies we've been watching since we were little. Matrix, Terminator, you name it, Gattaca, Brave New World, 1984, all of them coming to reality. I mean, that's what we have a choice right now. We get to choose. Are we going to go that way, or are we going to go this way? I know which world I'm fighting for, and it's a world that believes that you are a free, powerful, beautiful person that are capable of organizing your own affairs. And when we free, powerful, beautiful people come together, we can do great things. We can say, I don't need to use force and violence against you. I don't need to coerce you. I don't need to use a government against you. We can have voluntary, mutually beneficial relationships. We can learn to teach and share skills. We can have privacy. We can have individuality. We can have diversity. And we can respect our differences without having to shove them down each other's throat. That's the world I'm fighting for, and I hope you guys will join me in that struggle, in that fight. That's all I got for today, guys. Thank you so much for being here with me. If you want to follow my work, again, theconsciousresistance.com. Shout out to everybody who listens to us on Spotify. I hope that you follow me elsewhere in case Spotify starts censoring this too, like they're censoring music. But shout out to everybody who watches on DLive and Float and Odyssey and BitChute and all the other alternative platforms. Those of you who are on Facebook, guys, I'm not going to be there much longer. And if you want to keep getting my work, you need to follow me elsewhere. So thank you for being here with me. Remember, you are powerful, you're beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
This is Derek Rose. This is Derek Rose of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries, Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.